Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We are broadcasting live online at gracehour.org on our new format here at the Grace Hour. We want to welcome you to the Tuesday live broadcast of this edition of the Grace Hour. Welcome to everyone, whether you're listening live on the internet at gracehour.org or Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We certainly appreciate you joining us. And remember, there are many other platforms that you can listen to and enjoy the continued live broadcast of the Grace Hour wherever you may find yourself. And again, we want to welcome each and every one of you to this Tuesday edition of our broadcast and remind you that we'll share some devotional thoughts along our theme this week, which is the battles of life. Well, they belong to the Lord. And we'll be highlighting that theme all week long right here on the Grace Hour. And of course, there's still plenty of opportunity for you to join us. As many of you realize and already know, we're no longer broadcasting on a live radio station here in the Baltimore area, but we are still quite able to take your phone calls, and we still welcome your phone calls. Your participation in the broadcast will continue just as it has for previous decades, and we hope for a long time, well, at least as long as God has us here, that we'll continue to take your phone calls live on the Grace Hour. Here are the numbers if you'd like. You can jot them down. Toll-free in all of North America is 800-338-7060. That's 800-338-7060. And you can join us by calling us on that toll-free number. The local number for you to dial if you're in the greater Baltimore area is 410-483-3700. And of course, we welcome your phone calls as well. Got a comment, a question, a testimony, or a counseling need, take advantage of the opportunity of joining us and participating in our live broadcast as we, again, continue that broadcast right here from our studios at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore. And again, as we mentioned, our theme, the battles belong to the Lord. And remember, it's important for us to note that those battles come in so many different ways, so many different forms, and there is often so many different kinds of battles. In John's Gospel, the sixth chapter, well, Jesus was there, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. We read that in John chapter 6, verse 4. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great multitude, or a great company, coming unto him. And then he said unto Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that all these may eat?" Now think about that. Jesus acknowledged all the people, and Philip, who he was speaking to, didn't see any help for all the people. Andrew, who was also there, had an idea, and it was involving a few loaves and a few fish, but that idea seemed to kind of wilt in the face of, again, all the people. And think about it today, friends. Each of us has our own version of all the people. It might be all of the problems, all of these long days, all of the bills, all of the heartache. Whatever it is for you, it requires something greater than our supply. And then it leaves us feeling a lot like Philip and Andrew. What are we going to do? Jesus doesn't want to send the multitude away, but we don't have what it takes to meet their needs. And we could all say the same thing. Whatever our version is of all these people or all these problems or all these difficult days or all of these afflictions, just put whatever battle you're going through into that context. And we will begin to understand that although we don't have the supply to meet whatever those needs are, we can be drawn to God because of those needs and turn to Him and learn to trust Him. You know, sometimes, oftentimes, the trouble, the problems, the difficulty are the very things that God uses to drive us to Himself, to realize that He is enough. And I love the fact that when Jesus was about to feed this great multitude, he employed the disciples, which reminds us that even though we acknowledge the battle belongs to God, he uses us in the midst of those battles. Now, again, our portion being used by God may be limited. We know that, but we can be present. And if he gives us clear instructions, as he did with the disciples, and if we think about it this way, if we simply give to him what we've got, that might be the answer to seeing victory through our battles. And what we mean by that is simply this. They had a few fish. They had a young boy. They brought him 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish. And they even said, you know, what are these among so many? But then Jesus began to go to work. You see, if we bring whatever it is, no matter how meager it might be, no matter how feeble in our eyes it might be, if we just simply say, Lord, this is what I have. This is what I can bring to the table. I know it's not much. In my estimate, it won't seem to accomplish anything, but I'm giving it to you. I'm presenting it to you. And remember, what is so insignificant, small, little, obscure, of no real value in our minds, can be used greatly by God if we will simply yield it to him. And that's what happened in John's Gospel, chapter 6. And Jesus fed that multitude because, again, those present didn't have what was necessary to feed them, but what they had, they brought to Jesus. And then Jesus took it from there, and the multitude was fed. Reminds us of our own battles. We find ourselves in the midst of them. It may not be, as the disciples said, all these people. It may be all of these troubles, all of these worries, all of these fears, all of these anxieties, all of these debt. And just add, again, your own battle to that context. But remember, Jesus is present. God stands ready to do for us what we cannot do ourselves. And when we cry out, Lord, I can't, he reminds us that he is more than able and that he has a supply that we know nothing about. And what little we might have, if we can just bring it to Jesus. We're reminded also of the first miracle performed by Jesus at the wedding of Cana, John's Gospel, chapter 2, when, again, the wine was gone, and they approached the mother of Jesus, Mary. And what did she do? She immediately took her problem to Jesus. That may be the wisest thing that any of us will ever do. And then she instructed them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. It's that simple. In the midst of our battles, if we can just come to him, turn to him, learn to trust him, and then also be available. If he should speak to us and say, your role is to do this, your portion is to fulfill this, it may be just to believe his promise. It may be just to not allow fear to creep into our souls. I think of the Jairus and his daughter, and he came to Jesus in Mark chapter 5, and he asked Jesus to come and to heal her. And Jesus began that journey. But we also know that that journey was interrupted by a woman with an issue of blood. I can imagine what's going through the mind of Jairus. We need to be in a hurry. My daughter is very sick. There's no time to waste. Couldn't we attend to this woman's needs at another time? But no, he stayed with Jesus. Jesus healed this woman, listened to her whole story, healed her. And then someone came and they said to Jairus, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter has died. And that's when Jesus immediately said to him, do not be afraid, only believe. It comes down to this sometimes, friends. Which of those two voices will we heed? Will we heed the voice of those who came and told Jairus, it's too late, it's over, your daughter is dead, don't trouble the master? Or will we hear the voice of Jesus that says, don't be afraid? Fear loves to find its way into our hearts and move out faith. Jesus said, don't let that happen. Just keep believing. That was Jairus's part. He could do nothing more. He had no power to raise his daughter from the dead. He had no power to heal her. But he was in the presence of one who could. And Jesus instructed him and said, Jairus, this is what you need to do in the midst of this battle. Because the battle was for his heart. It was for his mind. It was a battle between fear and faith. Which one would prevail? And thank God, he just kept believing. He didn't allow fear to move out faith. And what we saw happen was miraculous. Jesus came, healed her, raised her again, and God was glorified. I'm reminded of the fact, friends, I think we all are, that when we enter the battle, we don't have much to offer, but we're present, and we know and can count on the presence of God as well. May God help us not to count our own resources as much as we should count on Him, the one who can make the difference, the one who is present, the one who promises to fight our battles. Well, friends, this is our theme this week in the Grace Hour. We're enjoying developing this theme along together with you, and we're going to give you an opportunity to weigh in as well in just a few moments. Pastor Schaller has joined us in the studio on this Tuesday afternoon, and we're ready to continue what I think is just such a great theme, something that we need to constantly remind ourselves of, and that is these battles, whatever they may be, they belong to the Lord.
Pastor Love, I'm thinking of the Ukrainians, and they're in a battle, and we all know it. We see it on the news, and identify, and it's shocking, actually, in many ways. And, you know, like identifying with people living in Kiev, knowing what is going on, family separated, just, you know, a violent military takeover, and it's happened in the past. The Soviets moved into Czechoslovakia in 67. They went into Hungary in 1956. It's happened before. It's happening now there in the Ukraine. And it's all on the news. We're in a different era from 56 and 70, 67. And it's visual. And so we can identify with people in trouble by just thinking about it and watching. And so we're not there, but we can in our imagination identify with these precious people. And of course, some of us have lived over in that part of the world for years. Pastor Chris Moore in Ukraine, Jason Moore, Gary Grunwald, myself in Hungary, folks in Poland, Ukraine, Romania. And, you know, when you can feel that that world and the culture of it and the whole thing, that it's in your heart and you can imagine what they are facing and the courage that they need. So we have two parts, and your message today, Pastor Love, was very good, and it is basically man is born under trouble, Job 5:7. It's everywhere in the world, in different degrees, at different times. There's a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embrace, time to live, time to die, time to love, time to hate. There's life, you know, life happening all the time, all around us. And the second part of your message was coming to Christ, coming to God. So Luke chapter 11, and to read from verse 9, I say unto you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. I always think there's a practical side, like prayer, asking, and there's prayer, like a Ukrainian could say, deliver us, Lord, and that's a real prayer. Save our lives, give us the food we need, protect us, defeat our enemy, and so on. So you've got the real material world, and then you have the spiritual, the immaterial, the words like love and joy and peace and seeking God himself. Ask something like God. Moses said to God, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. I want to see you. I want to see God, you know. Can we see God, Pastor Love?
Yes, we can see him. That prayer that Moses prayed, that was answered. And it seems like you cross a threshold. Pastor Stevens used to refer to it as the maturity barrier. You know you've broken through that maturity barrier when that is your heart's desire.
Okay.
When you say, Lord. I mean, Moses could have asked for anything. God told him, he said, ask me for what you want. Mm-hmm. And the one thing he asked God for was, I want to see you like no one has seen you.
There is that Psalm 73, none do I have in heaven but you alone, none on earth but you. You are my lot, my portion. You know, you are the one. So this is, so you're in a Ukrainian living in an apartment house and really not going outside, just praying for protection. And you know, there are men on the street fighting and so on. So I don't really know the latest, but just to say that we can ask for deliverance in a very real way, in a material way, and then we can ask for more. But we ask for God himself, right? Ask and you will. So we are in the West watching this happen, and unfortunately some people only have the trouble to think about. It's almost like COVID. Like, we could think only about COVID. Oh, maybe I'm going to die, or you know, we have a pandemic going on. And that's where many people live and park there. And that's not our message. Our message is to go from there to God and ask, and it will be given to you. In verse 9, seek, you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I think of these words in regards to finding God, seeking God, knocking, and it's open unto you. Now, come on. Is that real or not? Like, is Christ, did he say, come unto me, learn of me? Did he say, seek me, you will find me, in Isaiah? Yes, he did. Are the Psalms, seek my face, Psalm 27. Thy face, O Lord, I will seek. How about 2 Corinthians 4? Look not at what is seen, Ukraine, but look at what is not seen. Don't look at Fox News, or, you know, you're loaded with information. Like, that's one reality. We don't deny it. But move on in your heart to God, the God that made the world, the God that has allowed this to happen, the God who is speaking to you through it and telling you that the human race has got serious problems and that we need Jesus Christ. We need God. We need God. Our problems are we have turned away from God. And a lot of trouble happens in life because of our sin, because of turning away from God. And that actually, he says, come to me, believe in me, trust in me. Now comes the new birth. Now comes the Holy Spirit giving you a new heart. Now comes the Bible being open to you. Now you have food. Now you have a spiritual life. Christ said, come eat this bread, you will never hunger. Drink this water, you will never thirst. That's talking about satisfaction. What? Satisfaction? Yeah, satisfaction. In the Ukraine? Yeah. With COVID? Yeah. Satisfaction. I mean, peace. We have a brother in Connecticut whom we love very much, who's in hospice, and he's going to leave this earth probably outside of an incredible miracle, and that would be awesome, and of course, but do you see what we are saying? We have the reality on one hand that we are not denying, but then we have the comforter, we have the promises, we have the nature of God, we have the Lord himself instructing us, ask and it shall be given to you. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? A son asks his father for bread. What does it mean that God is for you? He's not going to give you a stone. He's for you. God is for you. God will fill you. God will help you. God will speak to you. Quiet, be quiet before God. He will give you bread. If you ask for bread, would he give you a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Like, that's a bad thing. An egg is a good thing. A scorpion is a bad thing. Will he really penalize you? Will he really be against you to the folks that are in the Ukraine and also the Russian military, the ones that are involved in this whole thing? Could there be amongst them those that are questioning and those that are asking God to help them? And are there those that are seeking God in Russia? Of course. Whether you're on that side or this side, their whole thing in life is to go with my trouble, whatever that trouble is, and go to a merciful God, the loving God, the Jesus Christ who was raised, the caring God, the glorious God, the living God, the speaking God, and he will answer you. So this is Jesus finishing this teaching. He says, if you then, being evil, verse 13, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What? He will give, it doesn't say a Cadillac or money or deliverance from the military invasion into the Ukraine. That'd be great. Lord, please hear that prayer and answer that prayer. That is great. But that's not what he's saying. He said, I will give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask him. That means the Holy Spirit will be with us in our trouble. That the Holy Spirit will be filling us, or the Holy Spirit is our comforter or our teacher. It's the Holy Spirit that is doing this. So now we are on the street, and our message is not the trouble or the war or COVID or I lost my job or my house is in ruins or my family is destroyed. Now my message is I found God. God filled me. God satisfied me. I suffer because of life, but I have found him and his peace. I found him, my heavenly Father. And I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me, in Hebrews 13. This is like another example. Moses is in the, and there's a battle in with Israel and the Amalekites, and Moses sitting on a stone, and the two men are holding up his arms, and he's praying. And every time his arms are in the air, they win. The Jews win. When his arms are tired and he drops them, they lose. Well, maybe we could use that and say that there is a battle. We need our arms up. That's a walk of faith. We need to look for the spiritual. Ask, and it will be given to us. And then, therefore, we will have a message in the midst of the trouble.
Amen. Amen. What great thoughts, friends, as we continue to develop this wonderful theme of the truth regarding the battles belong to the Lord. We're going to take your calls. Anytime you're ready to pick up that phone and dial one of these numbers, you can join us live on this Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. And remember, there will be no half-hour break, so we'll be staying with you right through until the top of the hour, which will be 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So go to your phones right away. Here are the numbers, toll-free in all of North America, 800-338-7060. Once again, 800-338-7060. The local number here in the greater Baltimore area, throughout Maryland, 410-483-3700. And we are anticipating a call from Pastor Chris Moore, who pastors the church in Houston, Texas, but he is a former missionary to the Ukraine and has been, well, he had lived there for many years and has been in contact with many of our church leaders and the churches in Ukraine, and he's going to be joining us momentarily and giving us, the best possible update we could get as far as our people are concerned and the believers that we know in that part of the world. And I think he's just wrapping up a Zoom meeting with some of them. So we'll hear from him firsthand about exactly what's happening in Ukraine. And we look forward to getting that update. And those of you that are waiting to join us, you don't have to any longer. Go to your phones, 800-338-7060, and locally 410-483-3700. I love the thought, Pastor Schaller, that, you know, the children of Israel, they were indeed, they were in a battle. And, but, you know, just the fact that Moses' arms had to be held up for the children of Israel to prevail over their enemies, that's his part. That's his role. I mean, he, you know, Moses isn't doing the fighting. His men are, but his role is so significant that without that prayer, without that intercession, without Aaron and Hur holding up his arms, they don't prevail. It shows you the importance of spiritual warfare.
Yes, and discouragement, you know, to the physical life when it's troubled, it tears our soul life down, our body, you know, like suffering does affect us. And so we need help. We need somebody to help hold up our arms. We need others. We need their encouragement. We need their faith. We need our arms to go up. And so that's the spiritual life of faith, you know.
Amen.
We don't walk around naturally with our arms up in the air, with their hanging down. But putting them up is like an activity of faith, isn't it?
Yes.
We put up our hands by faith. So Abraham, living in faith, overcame the enemy.
Amen. Well, let's go to the phones. Bill Alexson is joining us from the local Baltimore area. Bill, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hey, Pastor Love, Pastor Schaller, how are you?
Great. Good to have you with us.
Well, I think it's such a crucial subject, especially for the days we're living in. And talking about Moses, he was complaining to God. He goes, what's going on? You know, they're thinking about stoning me, and Pharaoh's over there. And God bluntly said to him, hey, look, do what I told you to do. Lift up your staff and say, stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. When, as you said, as he did his part, that's when God did his part, and the enemies drowned. And then faith arise there instead of sight. And I think it's too easy for Christians to be deceived when the troubles come that are promised, that we think, well, if I was only walking closer to the Lord, or if I prayed harder, this probably wouldn't have happened. When oftentimes God leads us into those troubles so that he can fight the battle. So there'll be no question who won it. It wasn't our strength or our Bible knowledge or our experience. It was God's deliverance. We get to know God, and God gets glorified. And I have an illustration. If you'll indulge me, can I share an illustration of that?
Sure.
The battle is the Lord's?
Sure.
Okay. Well, as you know, Pastor Levin, Pastor Shell, I used to be the chaplain for the Boston Celtics. And back in the day, the Philadelphia 76ers with Dr. J would play Larry Bird Celtics. Whoever would win the playoffs would go on to play the Lakers with Magic Johnson. So this game's on national TV, and I knock on the 76ers door because I'm going to invite the guys to chapel where we pray before the games and give an inspirational message. And I open the door, and I notice how quiet it was in the locker room. And I saw Julius, better known as Dr. J, stretching. And he gave me this little look like, I'll be out in a minute. I knew something was up. So he comes out. He goes, Bill, he says, you know, some of the guys think they want to take extra shooting practice. I said, why is that? In Forego Chapel. Why is that, Julius? He said, well, because we don't have enough players. Ivoroni hurt his arm. Moses Malone got poked in the eye. Andrew Toney sprained his ankle. He went on. And then he said, we had to bring a guy up from the instructional league just so we've got eight players so that we can legally play the game. So I started to walk away, and I felt like God said to me, aren't you going to invite Julius? Well, he just said all this. I mean, and I think God impressed me. Okay, if that's what you want to do. So I looked at Julius and said, Julius, how about you and me? Okay, let's do it. So he had his game face on. We went in the locker room. I locked the door behind me so nobody could get in. And I made a big mistake, Pastor Schaller. There was two chairs, this low chair, this folding metal chair, and this high stool. And Julius, with his Guinness Book of Record hands, biggest hands in the world, was on the stool looking down at me. And I'm a little intimidated by it. And he had this look on his face like, I hope you have something from the Lord because I need it. And I said, Julius, you know what you and your team needs today? He said, what? I said, courage. Not the Webster's Dictionary, Bible Dictionary explanation of courage, but the Bible definition of courage. The kind of courage that God commanded Joshua to have when he was way outmanned in this big battle. And when he commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous, it wasn't something like, okay, make me strong and courageous. Joshua had to choose to be courageous because God commanded it. And the reason he could choose to be courageous because God commanded it, because the battle is the Lord's. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And it went on to say that's why little David could take on Goliath, because he knew the issue wasn't going to be how is he going to beat Goliath? How is Goliath going to beat God? And we went on and we concluded, and I said, Julius, you want to close in prayer? He said, yes. And he says, Lord, I thank you for these words that are not from Bill, they're from you. And I pray that not only myself and my teammates could apply that to the game today, but for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So he left, and you might have thought, well, you felt pretty good, didn't you, Bill? I said, no. I was thinking to myself, is that the best you could do is tell him a David and Goliath story? And I was feeling a little insecure. So as the game went on, they routed the Celtics. Julius was most valuable player. He had 33 points. And when they interviewed him on national TV after the game, they said, Julius, you're under man. How'd you do it? And he parroted back what he heard in the chapel. So I'm feeling pretty good at that point. And I'm walking back to the locker room because where we have our little chapel times locked up because I got my coat in there. And so I went down the hallway. The two television monitors at the Boston Garden, one was on the left and right, as my ears went past it, Dick Stockton said to Bill Russell, Bill, this is a David and Goliath game. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, oh, so you think you gave him Sunday school material, huh? this is my word that doesn't return void, Bill. You just do your job. You preach it, and I'll make it work and won't return void. Wow. And I hope I learned a lesson that when we think is, when the devil says, who are you, Gideon, or who are you, Bill Alexson, or what do you think you're going to accomplish? That we can think with God and say, I'm not going to accomplish anything. It's not my battle. And God uses the weak things of the world to confound the strong and the foolish to confound the wise. We qualify. Wow. We got to get our eyes on the Lord. And when Pharaoh's coming and the people are saying, stone Moses, we got to think with God. God led me here. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Lift up my staff, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord.
Amen.
Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, for the battle is the Lord's.
Amen. Bill, well said. Amen. Well said. Thanks so much for calling and sharing that. Very, very encouraging.
And happy birthday to Pastor Schaller.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the call. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Greenfield, Indiana. Our good friend, Pastor Don Barnes, is joining us live in the Grace Hour. Pastor Barnes, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Just a reminder to Bill Alexson. He needs that same courage that he preached during convention for this golf match.
I'm sure he knows that, too.
No, okay. I have a quick question, and ask the question, and I'll get off the line, and you can explain it. I have, on several accounts, have people come up to me and say, well, don't worry, God is in control. And I have never found where it says God is in control. It may allude to it, but is he in control? Is he in charge? And where does free will come into play?
Yeah, great. I love it. That's good. That's very good. Well, Pastor Lovis went immediately turning pages in the Bible to kind of find the answer to that question. Pastor Don, I just read in the Facebook page, Dalira in Moscow saying, pray for our country. Pray for the situation and appreciates our spiritual mind on these things. And I've said that many times through in the last few days. The Russian believers are amazing, the ones that I know. This country is important. We love the Russian people. We believe that there could be a revival. We pray for us to have a message ready in our hearts. If we were living in Russia, it would be people are looking. They are asking questions. They are looking at life like everybody does. And we are those that are equipped. We are prepared. We are spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christians who have learned to walk with God like Dalira and Sasha and Pastor Teplov and the many, many sisters and brothers in that part of the world. So we have them in our prayers and for the future because we see trouble. Jesus said, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you would have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we love our brothers and sisters in Russia, and we are praying for you. God bless you. So, Pastor Love, did you come up with Pastor Barnes' the answer to that?
Well, the verse that I'm thinking of is in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the first chapter, the third verse, speaking of Christ there. It says, he is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. The fact that he upholds everything gives me the idea that he's in control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
For us to think that a dictator, and you can look back on history or look presently what's happening or even into the future and think that the destiny of this world is in the hands of a dictator, it would be foolish.
Yeah.
Because God, you know, it's kind of like somebody once said that history really is the unfolding of his story. So I think he upholds all things. He's the steersman of the universe. We have a promise for him that says, I'm going to work all things together for your good.
Yes, yes,
and I
yes.
think that understanding gives us confidence to say, yeah, God is the one who is on the throne. He may allow certain things to happen, but if he allows them, he only does so to fulfill his own purposes.
Pastor Barnes, you want to comment?
Well, this question comes is asked of me when a child dies or when he gets sick and all this COVID. Where, is God in control? Why is all this happening? And, you know, I usually just, I don't know how to answer it. I really don't.
Yeah.
I know that he's in charge of his kingdom, his people, but then there's the prince of the power of the airways and free will. And it's just a very touchy subject for me.
Right, because the word control, it kind of, it's not a good word for what we want to say. They think about, you know, like a little train set. And the you know, the guy, the control for the train set, you know, you get the guy, there's one guy who's controlling the train set and he has the speed. He can stop the train, start the train. They think of control as something like that. Like God is actually pushing the buttons and making everything happen, you know, like, or mechanically, you know. So it's not a good word because if they have that idea of control, you know, it's not a very good picture because there's another way of like, you know, if you have a big aquarium and a big aquarium and you dump a bunch of fish in there and you let them live, are you in control? You know, where the fish are kind of swimming and doing their thing and, you know, like, I have control, but in a different way. You know, I can pull the plug on the aquarium. I can bring it all down to nothing, or I can add this or that, or, you know, it's like a different word, you know, right? Is that, so Pastor Barnes, is that, does that mean anything to you?
It meant more than when before I called.
We're still not there, I know. But anyway,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey, it's good to talk to you guys. Good to hear you, and I'm just blessed to be a part of this ministry.
Yeah,
Pastor well, it's Don, an honor to be yeah, with you.
Amen.
In it. Praise the Lord.
And Pastor Don, I remember once when my sister came to me, and she had a child that was born, stillborn, and I remember. At the cemetery, she came to me in tears and she said, you know, why? She says, John, why? If anybody would know the answer, why? Why did this happen? Why did God let this happen? And I remember saying to her the same thing you said to those who asked you, Pastor Don. I said, I don't know. I said, but I do know this. I know that God is good. And I think sometimes what we can tell people is what we do know about God. Maybe we cannot give them all the answers to what's going on in their lives, but we can tell them what we know about God.
You know, yeah. There's thousands of promises that he has given us, and he will not go back on those.
Mm.
And the promise for peace, the promise for joy, the promise for we have a home. We have a home. And but that is a one that always gets me when a child gets killed or in a car accident, and I have a bit of a better understanding now. So I appreciate the input.
Well, we appreciate your call.
And remember this one too, Matthew 10 could. How is it? Five sparrows sold for two farthings, and one, you know, falls out of a tree And how could that bird fall out of a tree without God being there?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. So we, all right, we got. Fellas. All right. Good talking
Thanks,
to you.
Thanks, Pastor.
Love you. Well, thank you.
Next, we have joining us from Texas, Pastor Chris Moore. And we mentioned earlier that he was going to be joining us. He is joining us live. I think he has just wrapped up a call or maybe a couple of Zoom calls to the precious believers in the Ukraine. So, Pastor Chris, thanks for joining us. And we're anxious to hear the update of what you have to tell us.
Hey, gentlemen. Dr. Shaw, Pastor Love. Pastor Love, great. There. Not always having an answer for people, but we can always affirm the character and the nature of God. I think that's what we're experiencing right now, is that there's a lot of big questions being asked, but I think we are encouraged to know that God's not afraid of big questions, and he has big answers, bigger answers. And I just got off a call. You know, I've been on Zoom and Telegram with these guys overseas and just talking with them. And everybody is really just surprisingly courageous. They're encouraged. You know, there are these waves of fear that will kind of surround them at points. But the body of Christ is gathering around each other, and they're encouraging themselves. You know, every day I'm hearing these guys in Odessa and in Lviv, they're just on the streets talking to people, sharing the gospel. They have a prayer table with some tracts that they're sitting there with. And Pastor Alkdai told me that he's never seen anything like this, of course, with the openness of people in Odessa. And so we're just encouraged. We're just hearing some miraculous stories of God just kind of coming through for people, delivering them from just dangerous places that they would have been, but they weren't because of God's providence. Poland and Hungary and and Germany are really, our churches there are really just rallying around with, like, what can we do? And Pastor Maciek's wife told my wife this morning that, that she was just delivering suitcases of stuff to Ukrainians, and there was just a lot of tears, and people are just giving sacrificially. It just kind of reminds me of the first few chapters of the book of Acts, where people were just giving of their own of their own things and supplying the needs of the saints. So just real quick, I'll just say, you guys all know what's happening. You're on the news, you see what's happening. So, I'll just say that really the key for us that are engaged. And by the way, I want to say thank you to the Baltimore body for just the awareness, the prayers. We watched the service online as a team here. Thank you for prayer and just keeping us encouraged. And that really means a lot. Thank you very much. And the support that's coming. I think that for us, it's really important that we would not surrender to the narrative of the world system, because they have their own perspective. They feast at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's a lot of pointing to who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, but that's not us. We don't engage ourselves in those kinds of conversations. We are engaged with the tree of life, which is a cross, which is the gospel, like we heard from Pastor Schaller in service. And that's really what our message is that we're not protected from evil necessarily, but we are different than people in the world. We have a provision in the time of evil. So just beautiful things are happening. Just continue to pray. Right now, I talked with Pastor Vladek and Pastor Mihailo in Lviv, and they said that store shelves are emptying pretty quickly. Funds are coming in, which are great, and they're just kind of out and about looking where to buy that stuff. And so one of the challenges that we have right now is getting things there to Ukraine, but we're trusting God for that. So, and all of our guys are staying there. I mean, they're not planning to leave, and now it's really too late for men to leave Ukraine, because of course men from the age of 18 to 60 are mandated to stay in Ukraine. to fight if needed. So, yeah, that's kind of what's happening in a nutshell.
So basically, if people went to our website and they wanted to donate to the Ukraine, then that money that we're collecting can be distributed to our Greater Grace pastors in Hungary and in Romania and in Poland, the neighboring countries, that they could take that those hundreds of dollars or whatever money there is, thousands of dollars, whatever is accumulating, and they could buy supplies and food, water, and other things that would help the refugees in those countries, and or money could be used to get to maybe somebody's going to make a run with a car or a vehicle loaded with supplies into the Ukraine.
Yes, sir. Yep. That's again, and we have people there in Hungary, Poland, that are already starting to field a lot of that stuff. Be praying, because I mean, I'm hearing from Pastor Maciek in Poland and some others that some of the Ukrainian refugees that are coming across the border are getting saved and getting baptized. So this is a real tremendous opportunity for these people to find Christ and get into a body. So we're going to see probably like Ukrainian fellowships or groups kind of popping up that are believers, and we'll kind of have a little bit of a new mission field to these guys, you know, coming across the border and wanting to be a part of a Greater Grace Fellowship.
Now, we also have a building in Warsaw, right? We have I've been in that building. It's the same building, right? That you guys bought back in the 90s.
Yes, in Lviv downtown, we have a building, and it's a four-story building. And right now, it's housing refugees already. And people are being put in there. And so our church in Lviv has become like a contact point for some other international organizations that have reached out to us, that, you know, that we're able to use these resources to help out.
Okay, great. Well, we're very eager to hear the news and care a lot about what's happening over there. And I know how you feel about it, and we're prayerful, and we're believing that God is using it for the greater good. So thanks a lot for the call.
And we're getting, you know, when we get this, when we see these graphic images and discouraging things, just to keep in mind that the body of Christ is doing some miraculous things.
And imagine today's Tuesday. In 2 weeks, mm-hmm. we will be there in Warsaw.
Yes, sir.
You know, as we're planned from, you know, we're going. Pastor Maciek says everything's up and running. We're in good shape. Nothing has changed. We're having our convention. It'll be a great time to get together. People from France, Finland, Hungary, Romania. We're going to be there, and we're going to be refreshed with each other's love and faith and our mission. So God bless you, Pastor Chris. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
God bless you. And friends, if you want to, if you're able to, go to the website, ggwo.org/donate, click on Missions and Local Needs, and then choose Ukraine Relief specifically if you would like to help. And again, you can follow that site, ggwo.org/donate, and you'll be able to help out for the needs that are happening with believers. And maybe, Pastor Scheller, quite possibly that when we arrive in Poland for that conference, there'll be Ukrainians there.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
That's going to be incredible.
That's right.
So
yeah.
we'll be able to be with them.
Well, they will be. Will they be the Ukrainians we know? I don't know about that. They are staying in the country, so they'll be Ukrainians, I'm sure, maybe new people that we don't know. So, but I, you know, they, it's, they were planning, but now it's changed, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Between the ages of 18 and 60, you can't leave the country if you're a male. So that's changed.
And maybe possible that some of their family members who have crossed the border could potentially be there. So.
Yeah, and other body members, the females, and also people that are refugees in Warsaw that may come to the meetings.
Yeah. Keep that European conference in your prayers also, friends. It's just 14 days away from starting. Pastor Maciek has reached out to us on YouTube Live, and he says we'll see you in Warsaw in 14 days. And he also has informed us that there are almost 400,000 refugees from Ukraine in Poland already. So that's almost 500,000 people that have made their way across the border.
And, you know, they're kind of related because before World War II, there was the, the Poland border, you know, this has all been a World War I. You know, these people are kind of, Ukrainians and Polish are kind of like very good friends. And so they kind of see the Poles as kind of like their big brothers or cousins or something like that, you know. They're related nations.
Yeah.
You know, and even Lviv at one time was part of Poland.
Wow.
Lviv was a Polish city at one time in their history. So there's been border changes and stuff, but in a good sense. And then now what we see are watching happening with the war is it's sad, but we're hoping that, you know, a lot of good will come out of it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, that's the end of our Grace Hour broadcast today, friends. Thanks so much for joining us. We will be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of our broadcast, and we hope you make plans to join us then. Don't forget, you can go to ggwo.org/donate, and you can help out and help to be of some comfort and hope and encouragement to the precious, precious people of Ukraine and believers in particular. Thanks for joining us, friends, and
Pastor Duke, thank you for calling.
Yeah, we'll get you next time, Pastor.
God bless you, Pastor.
Thanks for joining us, friends. We'll be back tomorrow. Join us then.